remember the first serious activist movement I was interested in founding was when I was approximately 9. And I wanted there to be a children's rights movement that gave children the right to work. And it was very important to me because I was working for the Dardics at the time, for Sam and Gita Dardic. And I pulled water weeds for, I think, 50 cents an hour, or perhaps it was for a quantity of water weeds. And so we pulled the weeds out of their pond. It made it much better for swimming, and we swam there a lot. And maybe I was a little bit older. But anyway, the point is, we pulled all these water weeds out and made these huge piles. And I thought that children should be able to work, and we should be able to have decent wages. And somewhere around that time, I think I was explaining that to one of my teachers, and they told me that actually there was this whole movement intended to get children not to work that had happened in the past, which is why we had all these laws preventing children to work. So it was kind of hard to like place myself in the history of our culture, which is partly why I went to law school much later to understand that a little bit more. Anyway, I just kind of gave up. I worked under the table. I secretly babysat. Yeah, that's right. So that was one thing. Then I remember being really involved in Beyond War. That was like an anti-nuclear movement, kind of nationwide thing that Steve Beckwith got really into. So there was these Beyond War meetings that Kurt Lorenz was having in his house. So I asked my parents to take me because I'd been studying and written some early, like one of my first papers I wrote in fifth grade or something, on the effects of nuclear radiation on human beings. And so I was really interested in that topic and asked them if they would take me to this meeting that I'd heard about from a classmate. And so I went to it, and a bunch of people showed up, including Steve Beckwith, who just, he and I hit it off. And he then invited me to come and work on their organic farm over on Purden Road, which was the precursor to John's Mountain Bounty. And I ended up working with them for a number of years, and that's how I started doing forest activist work. So for a while there, you know, I was interested in kind of anti-war activism. When I was in high school is when I worked the summers with Steve Beckwith and slowly went from doing more farming stuff to more forest activism, because it was around the time that the national forest plans for the Sierra Nevada were being passed. So the National Forest Management Act required preparation of a forest plan to govern forest planning activities that happened on public lands, Forest Service lands. That was passed in 1974, and it took until about 1985 before the first plans were being passed. And so some of those plans were Sierra Nevada forests like the Tahoe National Forest and other national forests. And so during that planning process, we did stuff like, you know, there's photos of John Teklin out gathering signatures. And I was also one of those folks who was between 13 and 16. I was out gathering signatures and doing stuff. So when I went to college at 16, like I gathered like hundreds of signatures. So when I look in the old forest plan of records of commenters, there's like my Chinese American roommate who was born in San Francisco and whose mom only speaks Chinese and who is a commenter on the Tahoe National Forest Plan. Mei Ying is in there. So, you know, just kind of, and also during that time, you know, I mean, growing up, there's just a lot of people doing different activist work, like Barbara Goetz and Steve Beckwith and others were working on our Nevada County General Plan issues and trying to get our zoning such that we have large parcels. One of the big reasons we have large parcels is because of all this activist work that happened, where people really wanted to preserve that rural feeling of the San Juan Ridge. So huge amounts of energy went into that. And then later in the 80s and 90s, protection of ancient forests was a huge priority. Hardly anyone's doing that now. People are really not doing that work. And in a lot of ways, I think culturally, like throughout the whole United States, but especially I've really noticed it here, is we've sort of dropped off. There were periods where there were so many nonprofits working on different environmental and other organizations, and that's really a lot less so now.